2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen out this week, so flying this ship solo, but kind enough to, excited to chat with Ochai Agbaji, who's kind enough to join us. Ochai, how you doing, man?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. I appreciate you joining us. I know that this is kind of an interesting time for you as a rookie, but I wanted to back up a little bit and talk about when you found out you were getting traded. Did you kind of get a sense that something might happen, or did it catch you off guard?
Really did catch me off guard. I was actually I was about to move into my place in Cleveland, and then I got the news that I was traded here. So it switched up pretty fast, but it was out of nowhere. Yeah.
So you got an apartment and everything, and then you had to uproot and go somewhere else, huh?
Yeah. It was a whole different experience, but it was still good though.
So you come here to Utah, new coaching staff, transition with no Donovan and no Rudy Gobert. What's it like going as a rookie into a team where there is a lot of change and a lot of things are kind of in flux?
You know, going in, it's still like any other rookie. There's still a lot of things you got to learn. But also coming in with the new staff and new coaches and all that, and a lot of new guys too. I think we all collectively helped each other. The veteran guys were really helpful for the rookie guys and some of the younger guys, that had come in. So it's been nice to have those resources and those guys to help us.
I mean, you play high-level college basketball at Kansas, so you're playing the best of the best, especially there in the Big 12. But is the increase in speed and ability and all that, is it really tough to kind of figure things out when you make that jump to the NBA?
Yeah, always. I think for everyone, no matter what level you're at, there's always that learning curve right at first, you know, getting to the league, just getting adjusted to the physicality and everything else, offensively, defensively, and but still, at the end of the day, it's basketball, and that's kind of how I think of it.
How do you feel like you've handled that transition?
Pretty good. I think at first it was a struggle coming in, and like I said, everything being new, it kind of started off slow. But now that I've gotten my footing and got a lot of guys, and guys are confident, and coaches are confident in me now. It's been nice.
And you see the minutes increase throughout the season, and it feels like Will Hardy is giving you more opportunities. Do you feel like you've embraced those opportunities well when that time that's been given to you?
Yeah. I think, you know, any opportunity, whether it's, you know, minutes at the end of the game or real minutes throughout the whole entire game, I think just I've been trying to take advantage of those and bring energy in any way I can.
What's this locker room like? Seems like you guys have a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, no, we have a lot of fun. I think every single day just coming in here to practice, all the guys are good attitude or having good attitudes and high spirits. So it's always fun being around these group of guys and competing against them every single day. I think that's another thing we do really well is just compete and get after each other every single day.
What did you feel about your game in college that you felt like could translate to the next level, and has it translated the way that you thought it would?
I think just being a shooting threat, number one, and I think just also the defensive versatility I bring, guarding positions 1 through 5, maybe 1 through 4 usually, but just the activity that I bring, I think that's kind of what I've always had in my game, whether I'm scoring or not, but just having that same level of activity.
Is that something that you take pride in too? Because you know, as a rookie, you're probably not going to get a ton of offensive opportunities. You say, all right, when I'm out there, I'll make the most of it on the defensive side.
Yeah. I think that's the way I feel like I can impact the game. Early on in my career, is just to come in and, bring energy. Like I keep saying, just bring energy in any way possible.
When did you, was basketball always the first love for you, or is it something you picked up a little bit later on?
I mean, growing up, I played basketball and soccer, so I had a love for both. And then I obviously had to drop soccer late in high school and you know, kind of go fully into basketball.
So what's that NCAA tournament run like last year?
It was a lot of fun. I think just being in that moment was a lot of fun, and being present with my teammates and the group of guys that we had. I'll never forget, you know, that whole run that we had, but also just the whole entire season that we had.
Did you get the ring yet, or are you still waiting on that?
No, we got the ring. I got a ring from, I think, NCAA, and then Kansas got our own ring, so I got two rings.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the thing that a lot of people, when you make that jump to the NBA, I remember talking to Darren Williams about this a long time ago. This shows you how old I am. But Darren Williams came in as a rookie, and he played at Illinois, and they played in a national championship game. And they lost that national championship game. But anyway, it's training camp, and I ask him, are you ready for, you know, the pressure and everything that comes along with it? And he's like, okay, yeah, I am, because, hey, you know what? We've just been playing in football stadiums in an NCAA tournament run with, you know, 70,000 people staring down at us watching these games and millions of people at home. That's pressure, too. This isn't like I'm experiencing pressure for the first time. Do you think an experience on, like, what you just went through helps you make that transition into the NBA?
Yeah, I would agree with that and agree with you. I think just it all comes down to pressure in my eyes. And really, when you're out there and you've gone through the high stakes of pressure, even just going through the Big 12 conference, I think there's a lot of pressure on Kansas just to win or always be competing for a winning title in the Big 12 conference every year. So you have that pressure. And then once that's kind of out of the way and then you go into the tournament, there's a little bit more, but still, you're kind of still playing with a free mind, also with that pressure. So my past 4 years at Kansas, playing with that pressure, I think is something that I've just, you know, implemented into my game. And that's something that kind of just motivates me.
You still keep tabs on those guys on how they're doing?
Yeah. I'm watching, you know, KU this year. They're having a really good season. Still talking to some of those guys. And then obviously the guys that graduated and left with me last year, I still keep up with those guys too.
My co-host who's normally here, he played in the NFL, and he said, you know, when I was playing in the NFL, in my rookie year, I'm used to only playing 12, 11 games in college. And once I hit that mark at the NFL, I'm thinking, okay, this season's got to wrap up. Well, we had 5, 6 more games left. You played, you know, you made a deep run in the NCAA tournament, won the whole thing. You're playing about 37, 38 games. You got an 82 game schedule. Has that been hard to try to adjust to the grind of a longer season?
A little bit, yeah. Kind of seeing it that way, where it's like we've already played a whole entire full NCAA college season, and more. In a way, it's nice because there's a lot of basketball. There's a lot of opportunities to go out and prove yourself night in, night out. So that's the thing I think that's really cool about it. But really, just going into the season, I expected it to be long. I mean, it is long, but I think just focus on what's next, or not really focus on what's next, but remaining present and, you know, kind of just taking it game by game. It helps a lot. That's what I think.
So I'm sure you're uber focused and you're dialed in and you know exactly what you need to be doing and the moment's not too big for you. But has there been a moment this year where you faced off against a player and you're looking like, I cannot believe I'm on the court with this guy right now. I've been watching this guy my whole life and now I'm on the court with him. Has there been that moment at all for you this year?
Yeah, I think in the Portland game against Dame, I wasn't guarding, but still just being on the court with him. And I think he had like 20 straight in the third quarter, something like that. A couple years ago, when I went for my first pre-draft, I actually went and worked out with Dame and got to meet him. And he's been a really good resource for these past few years for me, as far as just like reaching out for questions or anything like that. So when he started, you know, getting hot and he was hitting all the shots, I was kind of just in awe. And obviously, it was just a great performance. But I would say that would be my moment.
Who's the guy in the locker room that keeps things loose? Is it Clarkson?
I would say, yeah, JT or Malik. Or Malik. JT, yeah.
What's that been like to transition into an NBA locker room? I know you guys have a lot of fun, but has it been weird at all? Or has it been those guys been pretty welcoming to you and Walker and the rest of the youngsters?
Yeah, no, like I said kind of earlier, That's something that's really cool about our team. We're all, you know, really for each other and playing for each other. So to be in the same and with these guys, and them being so nice to me and so welcoming to Walker and I when we first got here, it's been good. And that's only been good for us on the court. That's what I believe. So,
what are your before we let you go? What are your goals this season? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to improve on?
I think just keep winning games. Obviously, that's the main goal of it all, is just to be successful and win. But also for me is just to keep growing in my role, continuing to get more comfortable game by game and just finding different ways to impact.
Well, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Fun conversation. Keep it rolling. Looking forward to catching up again here soon.
Yep, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Ochai Agbaje, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.